Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You have heard me discuss my relationship with Josh Arnold for some time. The reason I advocate that you give Josh a call is simple. Trust and results. Josh has seen it all when it comes to economic and market conditions. As has been said, through all of our relationship, past results do not guarantee future returns. And while that is true, Josh can make sure that your retirement objectives match your investments. You can understand that Josh will make sure you are not paying more in fees than you are seeing in returns. Yes, that is more common than you would like to think. Do yourself a favor and have a booking with Josh for the 48-minute free evaluation. This is a no-obligation meeting. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. You will be glad that you did.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Royce is a paid endorser.
Oh, it's fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Patrick Royce, what can be done to stop this Twins juggernaut of an offense that is now rivaling the 27 Yankees in its incredible production? My what? God.
What could be done to get me my chair off this cord? There,
the long
now
cord.
We got it.
There
now we
go.
Got the long
there
cord.
There you go.
You know, you could self-destruct with this if you were a little smaller. I don't think I could hang myself with this, however. I
no, mean, probably
be
not.
Be a little too weighty, but somebody smaller could probably do it.
Well, we don't want to encourage that.
No,
but yes, that is a very large cord.
No, we want. Yeah, it was quite the explosion, to say the least. And I say the secret weapon is Kirilloff.
Yeah, I agree.
He gives him a professional bat in the middle of the lineup.
Yep.
You get the bases loaded with one out, and if he's one of the next two guys, you got a chance.
Yep.
You got a chance with him. He's going to give you a good at bat. He can hit lefties. They haven't let him. I think they're looking for excuses not to play him because they're afraid of the wrist. But he lefties, righties, I don't think it makes any difference. And I've always said he's got a great swing. When he hits two home runs in a game, that's not going to happen too often because he's more of a line drive hitter. But it really helps to have a guy like that in the lineup that's going to give you, okay, here he comes. We got to now. The catcher's got to go out and talk to the pitcher and figure out what to do here. They don't have many of those hitters because Buxton, Buxton's dangerous, but he's not a grinder out at bat guy. You get ahead of him in the count, and he's got a fighting chance to swing at a pitch a foot and a half off the plate. And Correa had a good weekend finally. I think he can, he can give you a good at bat. Maybe when he's at the top of his game, but they really don't have many of those guys.
Mm-mm.
I think that we have too much concern about Michael Taylor's offense, too. He's not helpless. And I see Suhan suggested this today. LaBelle suggested a couple weeks that they should put Buxton back in center field. Not happening. It's not happening. As long as he's playing and available, they're not going to change.
Yes.
Maybe late in the year, 2 weeks to go.
But you know what people are forgetting, Pat? The Twins said this last year. In a moment of rare truth, right?
Yeah.
Buxton has a chronic knee condition.
Yes, it is.
Chronic knee conditions are not fixed through surgery.
No.
they might be helped a little
bit.
They
did have. They obviously assisted it this year by taking, moving something around.
Yes.
But it's, you can't surgically remove tendonitis, which is basically what he has all the time.
Correct.
And I am shocked how often he's in the lineup. They're only, maybe once every 6-7 games.
He was out Saturday, and I think the previous time had been late April, maybe?
And I think Saturday was, he's 0-25. Let's sit him down here and let him take a – that was as much that he wasn't getting any hits as anything. So
I agree.
I mean, we've talked about this before. We've found out why he took $100 million.
Right.
Yeah, because he was afraid to go out and have another year before he became a free agent when he played only 50 games, right?
Yes.
Because they put him in center field and he only, he couldn't play. He wouldn't have gotten $100 million from anybody.
And Michael Taylor, by the way, is damn good out there.
He's not a problem. That's what I keep saying. As much as wonderful as Buxton was, Michael Taylor is a, excellent center fielder, and that's what they did. They told us Buxton wasn't going to play center field when they signed Michael Taylor.
Yeah, we just didn't really listen.
We just didn't know it. We didn't listen. And you also see how good Michael Taylor is when they got Nick Gordon out there, and he runs over and he has to jump up and catch a ball that Michael Taylor would have caught his belt.
I thought the same thing because Bramer's like, great catch.
Oh, what a great catch.
Actually, no.
Yeah.
It wasn't that hard in the first place.
Remember the 14-12 game? Aaron Hicks's great catch in center field.
Buxton catches that.
Buxton would have been standing there. So, it's you can make a great catch based on your abilities, but, we all miss seeing him out there because he was fantastic. But
I agree with you.
They have no better option unless you really got the hots for Jose Miranda to come back and be your DH. Which is his natural position.
Yeah.
There's no reason to do it. There's no reason to take the chance.
And what happens now if they do? Like, let's just say they're like, caution to the wind.
Yes.
June 3rd, you're playing center.
Yes.
And he tries to climb that stupid chain link fence, falls off, and gets hurt. We'll crucify him.
You would. Or, not many of his injuries have been is crashing into fences as we give him credit for. But we know that caution is not – if they decide, go play center field, but be careful, he's not going to be as good as Michael Taylor.
Correct. And the thing that we didn't account for, but I'm sure is in the thought process, is with tendonitis and a chronic knee condition, standing there doesn't help you.
No. That is absolutely true. Just all the time here. We got the leading proponent of staying off your feet.
Yep.
And as much fun as we make it with Rocco, I think he literally means being off your feet because he had the bad foot, the dropsy or whatever it was that cost him his career.
Yep.
But that's they want him to, go back, take BP back in the machines with the machines, do whatever you have to do, but sit down here for a while too and relax. So I don't think you're going to see him back in center field. And when the year's over, he'll probably have 30 home runs. So, so that's
fine. As you said, the contract now makes total sense.
Yes, it does. So I think the biggest concern is to go back to Kirilloff is keeping if he can stay healthy. I mean, if they haven't said much about it since he started playing, how his wrist is feeling. I haven't seen a good interview with him about how maybe he's been evasive with answers or something.
He doesn't say anything.
No, he never did beforehand.
He's purposely as boring as possible.
When I was down in spring training early those years, he was, he got married when he was like 19 or 20 to this girl that was, his girlfriend and a religious fellow who comes from the, we don't believe in the premarital act. So he got married very, I think he was like 20, 21. And she was, She was real working down there as a real estate salesperson at like 20 because she was from back home. Mm-hmm. And they bought a house down in that development down below Paseo, the next one down, and they had a house in there. But he was serious enough about his baseball to move to Fort Myers, to buy a house in Fort Myers and when he was 20, 21 years old. And he was around the ballpark when I was down there early in those Januaries, late Januaries, and I talked to him a couple of times. And nice kid, but nothing.
Nope.
No, the quotes are not. He's well-trained in the art of Now, if you want to get quotes, his dad used to be good. I don't know. Maybe his dad has shut up now, too.
And his dad is his hitting coach,
oh,
right?
From age four. His dad is a...
Yeah, he's a protege.
On the internet, buy my videos type of, you know, guy like that. And he had a camp. And I think is it Dave? I can't remember. But dad, yeah. Dad's the guy that gave him that swing. And
it's a great swing.
Know, it is. So... you know, that's helped a lot. It's in baseball, it's hard to isolate one guy, but I think just going through the lineup, when you're going through, you know, you say, okay, you know, just throw your good stuff to this guy, and he's going to do nothing. And all of a sudden, yep. With Kirilloff, you got to have a plan. So, anyway, but yeah, it's that really screwed up their first quarter feeble statistics, though, because it was game 40. When they got 11 and 13 hits. And then game 41, they get 16 runs and 18 hits.
They're unstoppable in the second quarter.
They got 29 hits in the in two games. So it was a lot of extra bases, too.
Yes.
So anyway.
Eight home runs in 2 days, right?
Now we'll see. Now they got the they got the Dodgers. So, although, somebody pointed this out to me. ERA-wise versus this three-game series, the Twins have the advantage in all three pitching matchups.
I mean, the Twins have been their pitching statistics are incredible.
One concern is Ober because he's never pitched over 90 innings or something like that. And I think you talked to me about this. Were you the one to mention it? Why were they wasting innings with him in St. Paul?
No, it wasn't me.
Yeah, somebody was saying that.
Huh.
You know, you only have so many innings. I guess they figured they had to keep him stretched out, the old
stretched
out.
You know what, Pat? I'm going to give them credit. So far, almost everything they've done has made sense.
This year?
Yes. For a team that's done some very goofy things previously.
Only this year.
I'm not crediting him from till 2000 through 2022. It didn't.
Yes.
But you know what, too? And there's a story here. Someone's going to get it eventually. This whole philosophy with starters pitching deeper is not like Sonny Gray being ticked off at Rocco. Like, they have shifted that philosophy. It's pretty interesting. They lead the league
in starters in innings right now. Yes. But having competent ones makes a bit of a difference.
Yeah, but you know what? Rocco is not nearly as itchy, even with the top now.
And you got
to
know.
For the three guy to get out there.
You got
to
know that last year, Josh Kalk was coming down for his daily meeting with Rocco, saying, you can't let Bundy pitch a third time through the order. And Chris Archer was just hopeless. I mean, that was to let him make 26 starts or whatever, that was criminal as far as your bullpen was concerned, because he was never going to go, you know, five was let's have a parade.
Yes.
I think he did it about twice.
Yes.
But I'm not sure you're right, it was not, I don't.
The Varlins did not get anywhere near where they drew now.
They would have hooked him a lot earlier last year, that's for sure. But I love that kid, man. Not so much that he's going to be invincible, but he gets the ball and throws it back.
Yes.
He did not need the pitch clock. He pitched that way last year when he got here. That boom, boom, let's go. He has a nice assortment of pitches, too. And first time out this year, he started off with two home runs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's
against the Yankees. First inning.
He's got a nice changeup. I didn't realize that. I watched him pretty close yesterday. He was pretty good. And here's the trouble, though. This is it. There's no more down there.
Right.
They don't have another starter.
This Woods Richardson is not close to being ready. And Bolazovic is...
He's in the doghouse still, right?
Yeah, well, he got in a bar fight. And then he came back and he hasn't been that good in St. Paul again this year. Last year was terrible. And I couldn't believe they left him on a roster.
And the bar fight, dude, don't say you got jumped. That's the oldest one in the book. I got jumped.
I was walking down the street and a guy hit me. Okay, sure. What'd you do? How many girlfriends of his did you hit on? You know,
yes.
Exactly. And Winder is not, you know, that boy, the only time I saw him this year, his stuff was terrible. So I liked him a couple of years ago, but I don't know that. And you're not going to have these five guys. You're going to need another one, and I don't know where he's going to come from. Schedule gets a little hairy here, too.
Yes.
You got.
Is Maeda going to come back in any semblance of what he was?
If he comes back, I bet he's in the bullpen, don't you?
I don't know. I mean, he was so ineffective before he got shelved again that I don't have a ton of confidence.
You know, they drive me crazy to some extent, though, still. You got Giovanni Moran on the mound. You got a 11 to whatever the hell lead it is. And you got him in there, and you want him to finish the game, right?
Yep.
And he's got this 7 or 8 run lead. And there's a guy on base, and it's a 3-2 count. And they have him trying to hit the outside corner with a breaking pitch. Throw the damn ball down the middle of the plate and let the guy hit it as far as he wants to. Or miss it.
And Varland did that at times yesterday. He just threw the ball down the middle.
Right.
He's up by a ton. So
yes. Why don't we try to get this guy to get a breaking ball over on 3-on-2 when he's a wild man? Yeah. Throw it over the plate. God almighty. Any pitch he can. Does he have any pitch in his repertoire that he can throw for a strike? Have him throw it. I think Vasquez is vast. That was Jeffers catching that game, though, right?
Which one was it, Saturday?
Saturday.
Yeah, Jeffers. Yeah, Vasquez caught Friday night.
I think I'd catch Jeffers more often. Vasquez overrated, I think. Now maybe the pitchers like to pitch to him. Yeah, they probably let Sonny choose who he wants to pitch to or something. But I don't know. He Olayed that one yesterday.
He can muff a ball like no. That's sort of weird.
He does not block pitches.
He's got Gobert hands.
Yeah, he does not block pitches. The ball that they threw in the dirt yesterday, when it was already one-sided. It wasn't 16 yet, but it was 8-3 or something. He just he doesn't block them if he doesn't have to. And remember a Doge hitting the ball up here? This guy, Chase, you get 2 strikes on him. Throw it at his nose. He's going to hack at it,
yes.
Man. He's
he's not going to save your bacon at the plate.
No. He's, they needed another catcher, and he's fine, but he's not as good as I thought he was, the way they talked about him defensively. Yep. Throws good. He's a good thrower. They've actually thrown a couple guys out this year, considering the odds are so stacked against you now with you can only throw over twice and, the fact these guys are, everybody's taking an extra 2 feet on their lead this year. So anyway,
I've come to appreciate anyone on this team that can play third base. That's what I've come to appreciate after watching Sano and Miranda and Gio, who I thought was really good. If you can play third base, I appreciate you.
Yeah, Farmer's fine.
He's fine.
He's a professional.
Yes,
and that helped them too. I got to give myself credit. I've been bashing him as a fielder since day one and said putting him at third is not the answer. He's not. I think he can hit. I think he can hit Miranda, but he hasn't hit this year. But they don't have. There's no place to put him. They tried to play him in left field for 2-3 games last year in St. Paul, and his life was in danger.
He's got no glove.
Yeah. Oh, he's not an athlete.
No.
He's a hitter.
But, at first base, which you know, is supposedly the simplest one. I don't know if I agree with that, but he was a mess there, too.
Oh, God, yes, because he chased the ball. And
he didn't know what to do.
Yeah. He might have had a better chance this year because without the shift and then, you know, okay, this is your territory. Because last year he was chasing the damn ball 20 feet off the he was running over and catching the ball in front of his second baseman, and there's nobody to cover first.
Right. You know, the pitcher was like, what the hell?
Just had no hint what he was doing. So,
hey, how about those crowds? That was
fun.
What
did they have yesterday?
33?
Did they get 30 on Mother's Day?
They got, I think Morneau said on the telecast they ended up with 95 or 96 for the three
games. That's pretty good. I guess the Cubs still, people still care. I don't know.
Saturday, very loud Let's Go Cubbies chant before all hell broke.
Now, those are Twin Cities, mostly from here, I think.
The
people I talked to before the game were from Illinois. But
okay. I think there was a lot of GN still.
Yeah.
You know, from the old days Cubs, on cable. Yeah. But that was a fun. But there is, when that ballpark has people.
Yes.
And they actually are watching the game, it's a fun place to be.
And they got lucky. There was, you know, Saturday, they had to wait an hour or something.
Hour, yes, 2:30.
But there was rumors that it was going to rain all day. It would have been bad to lose that 30,000.
Yes. Yeah, 30, I want to say 31 or 32 on Saturday, and I think it was 33 something yesterday.
Did we, Friday, did we happy hour again Friday? I don't know.
They've got some deals, but they're not doing the, because so there's the 3 o'clock starts
yes.
that they've put in.
Are there more than one?
I think they're going to have, yes, I think there's a few of those, but then I think there is a happy hour deal before the game starts as well.
Well, the last time they had the happy hour, the first time they had a happy hour, they delayed the game 2 hours, but they cut off the bargain prices at 3:15, and they had free popcorn, right?
Yeah.
They told me they had guards there, like, guarding this free popcorn. You know, why don't you say, yeah, you got a two-hour delay here.
Yeah, take
Come
the popcorn.
Come on and eat some popcorn. That's fine, you know. Their problem is they got the deal with the concessionaire. They don't have the power, really. They
right.
can, you know, then those cheapos.
Delaware, right?
You know, yeah, you got it.
Delaware concessions.
When the rain delay comes, you got to say, okay, happy hour lasts till the first pitch, don't you?
Of course. And it was the Royals. I can't imagine
right.
it was very full.
No, it wasn't.
It's not like the Cubs where you're going to draw a ton of Cubs mm-hmm. fans.
Oh, man, hockey here. There's two teams that don't like each other.
Sweden and Finland.
Finland and Sweden.
World championships.
I at Lillehammer, that was the gold medal game.
Yeah?
And they won it, and they settle it in a shootout.
Forsberg.
Yeah.
Forsberg, right? Scored the goal?
Yeah, Sweden won, right?
Yeah.
It's the only thing Sweden won over there. They had a horrible Winter Olympics in Lillehammer.
How about that? You play for you settle a gold medal game in a shootout.
Between Finland. Who beat Canada? Oh, Russia. Or who beat Russia? Canada probably wasn't very good then.
That goes way back.
Somebody beat Russia, though, in the... That was the Dave Peterson team.
Oh.
About 12 NHLers on it that played no defense. One of my favorite Olympic events. Because Dave decided he was really a good guy when he was at Southwest, but he got grumpy. He could not handle the international media.
Yeah.
And then they were getting beat 7-5 and 8-6. And they were just.
How did Dave get that job?
He just got in with USA Hockey, and they have all these old guys. Art, whatchamacallit, and was a buddy of his. What was Art's name? He ran the...
Art Berglund?
Yeah, they gave Dave the
And Louis
job.
Was on that committee, right?
And I think Dave had been a world championship coach or something. Yeah, but I've never
That's like Jerry Faust, though.
I mean, yes,
Going
it
from
was.
Bowler High School in Cincinnati yes. to Notre Dame.
But he was surly. He could not take this... the second guess questions, and he'd get mad and he'd get surly, and then they'd start. Then they knew that the international media knew that they had him. So then they kept agitating him. And there's a guy from Switzerland, but with a German accent, but a, you know, German who lived in Switzerland. And he fancied himself as a hockey analytic expert. Before it was popular, you know.
All right.
So while we're talking 94, right? 94. The Lee Hammer 94, right?
92 or 94, whichever one.
Well, 92 was, no, it was 94. It was the first one that, it was when they changed.
They broke them up? Okay, yeah.
So it was 94.
Yep.
And I remember one day they got beat, and this guy said, "Coach, you have no system. What is your system? You have no system." I thought Pete was going to go down there and punch him. It was just this rowdy, unbelievable reaction.
That's
that
worse than Gilbert.
And look up that team. They had like 12 NHLers. Yeah. They were still collegians then, you know.
Yes.
But they were just loaded with talent. They'd get beat 7-5. I think the Russians got 8 goals against them or something.
That I'm seeing if I could find their roster here.
Yeah, look at that roster. Great roster.
I can't find it. But anyway, yeah, that's poor guy, though. I mean, goes from Southwest, you know, probably nice and quiet.
I think he was living out in Colorado Springs, and he got in with the USA hockey guys. And
we had some very rough Olympic outings post-Hurt Herbie's thing.
Lou, you know, Herbie was a supporter of Lou.
I know.
And
God, that do you remember that roster?
Oh, God.
LaFontaine was on that team. Olchek was on. Iafredi.
Yeah.
Oh, they were filled with
NHLs. They got beat by Norway.
They were awful in those games.
I think the second game they got beat by Norway, I've told you that story, that I called the Norwegian consulate here in town and said, "How do you write, do you believe in miracles?" So that was my lead to the column was, you know, whatever it is, Norwegian, and then just made great fun of the, you know, does this mean that communism is back because, you know, we tore down the, what's this mean? Are we going to, is the Iron Curtain coming back? You know, I made fun of the whole political reaction to 80 and ran into Herbie that night out at the North Star game. And he said, "Oh, yeah, bleeping, bleeping, bleeping." Deep in his heart, he loved it though.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Cause it just built up, you know, you need Herbie to.
Yes.
To win a gold medal.
Yeah, Lou was an assistant on the 80 team, right?
Yeah, I think he was.
Lou Vero was?
Yeah. I mean, Herbie liked him. But.
But then we had that. 88 in Calgary was a disaster, as I recall.
Yeah.
And that was another roster filled with all-stars.
That's where
Dave Peterson.
That's where Dave was.
That's Calgary. Right, Calgary. You're right.
It wasn't Lillehammer.
Yep.
It wasn't Lillehammer.
Yep. Because that team had what? Richter was in goal. Who was outstanding? That team was filled. Leach was on that team.
Yes, yeah, Brian Leach.
That's what it was.
It was a phenomenon. They were, it was 88 Calgary.
You know what? 94, I think, was the first year of professionals, but it was all like minor league hockey players.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Brian Ralston was on in 94 team.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember Chris Snow and I got into a battle when he was our beat guy for the Wild, and he took some time off, and they signed Brian Ralston, right? Wasn't it Brian?
Yeah.
Brian Ralston.
Ralston, yeah. Yeah, no, you got him.
But it was during the lockout was coming, right?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. And he was on vacation, and he called me, and they had me go over to the press conference. Do a Ralston piece.
Yep.
I'd talk to Ralston and Lillehammer, you know. And I finally said, "Snow, I was talking to Brian Ralston when you were a gleam in your old man's eyes, so stop bothering me, okay? I can cover the all-important signing of Brian Ralston without 25 hints." So now I wish him the best, by the way.
Yep. But, no question about it.
Yes, but... yeah, in Lillehammer, that was. You know what Lillehammer was neat about them? They had two hockey arenas. One was in a cave.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one was in a cave out in the mountains, you know. They had the one downtown is where most of the big games were, but they had,
I didn't know that.
They had a smaller one and played some of the preliminary games in a cave, yes. It was. That was the best Olympics I ever covered in 94 because the Norwegians were the greatest.
Because you covered a bunch, right?
I covered 3 80. Summer, 3 winter.
Yeah, that's...
3 winter.
That's a lot.
That's enough.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. They covered Calgary and Salt Lake, and then Lillehammer.
Salt Lake was the hockey in that one was fantastic.
Yeah, because that was pro, man.
Yes.
That was big time. Yeah.
Yes.
And I think we made the final, didn't we? Herbie was coaching.
Herbie's triumphant return.
Yeah.
Shortly before his death, he took that team and...
Gilbert was in rare form there, man. I think Gilbert was working for the Olympic committee then. And we were... You had the mix zone then, so the players would come out, and you'd get them for like 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You have 12 guys talking to him, and Gilbert would be over there interviewing him for his notes for the... And I would scream, Gilbert, let him come over here, God bleeping bleeper. Come on, we're waiting for the guy to score a goal, and Gilbert would be having... You know,
that's where our Tom Jones had one of the greatest assignments ever. Just cover hockey for Olympic Games.
I think we had four people there.
Wiener, Rachel,
Tom Jones. And Tom Jones. It's the only Olympics I covered. I didn't have anything to do.
Yep.
You know, because there was, you know, they only wanted like a column and maybe one other sidebar a day. Because every other Olympic I went to, you do four stories a day. You know, do a column and three other stories.
So what did you do?
Calgary was the
summer
worst.
Games. Did you do Los Angeles in 84?
Yes. Wong and I did.
For the Pioneer?
Yeah. We were supposed to report to Knight Ritter to get assignments. And we didn't. We just did what we wanted to do. And they finally tracked us down with about 2 days to go. And Eddie Storen from Miami was supposed to be the coordinator. He cast some aspersions at our loyalty to the Knight Ritter operation, but you know, we had to cover our own stuff. You know, we had to.
Well, why am I not surprised that you and Wong completely deserted the idea of a plan?
We're going to do what we want to do, right?
Yes.
I mean, we must have done between the two of us 125 stories, probably. You know, but they were all. What did St. Paul want, you know?
Right.
We didn't care what the other guys want. Why don't we get some guy from Miami telling us what to do on the Winter Olympics?
I agree with that.
You never, now that Miami's a hockey mecca, I can mm-hmm. see it, but.
Sports mecca? What are you kidding?
How about Panthers? Isn't that something? Wow.
How about Jimmy?
Jimmy, yeah. My guy Tibbs didn't have a chance against Jimmy. He got a big game out of Brunson, and they still couldn't win.
Yeah.
Brunson was great. I don't know. What do you think? I don't think Jimmy got a chance against Boston, though. They're good.
Boston's really
Tatum's
good.
Tatum's fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. Which is why I have no sympathy for Bruins fans, too, who were whining and bitching 2 weeks ago. Oh, we got eliminated in the first round. That's, you know, that's just our plight in life. You know, how many championship runs do you people
yes,
need?
Yes, right. That's true.
Give me one of yours.
Yeah. How many they had, let's say, since the Patriots first won?
Oh, God.
They had six, right?
Two or three World Series titles.
Four.
From the Red Sox.
They have four.
It's four?
Four. Since 07, they've won three more. They've won four. they waited 86 years, and then they've won four,
it's four
since
now? Okay.
04 in
okay.
20 years.
Patriots of all
up.
Those.
I looked that up the other day. Yeah, the Bruins just won cup probably, huh?
Yeah, the Bruins went to the cup against St. Louis and lost.
Mm-hmm.
But do the Bruins have a cup title as well?
I think they had one, but I might be wrong.
And the Patriots have all of their titles.
Six or is it seven? They got six or seven?
I think it's six. I'll find it.
The Celtics have the Garnett one.
Yep.
And... they got the Garnett one and one more. If they got one, two, or maybe they only have one.
But the point is, they're always making runs.
Yes.
To, you know, deep runs. We haven't had a playoff game here in what now, 3 weeks?
Yeah, I was talking about that.
Just give me a.
Such. I was stopped and talked to Such for a minute before I came down. He says, how about these hockey meccas that are going to be in the semifinals if Seattle wins and we can't get out of the first round? So that's...
he's not wrong.
Geography has nothing to do with it. I still can't understand how the Kraken are that good, though.
Well, when you pay 500 plus now, I think.
Yeah.
Million.
No, they paid 700.
Yeah, okay, Vegas so I'm paid, sorry. The Golden Knights paid 500.
Yeah.
But when you pay in excess of that, you are allowed an expansion draft that immediately can make you competitive.
But it wasn't quite as good as Vegas.
It wasn't because teams didn't trade all. You know, the problem with the Golden Knights one was all of these GMs outsmarted themselves and said, I'll send you two for, you know, don't take Dumba. Here's and two. And Alex Tuch turns out to be a bleeping star.
Yeah, yeah.
So Seattle didn't get that, but they still got a solid team. And then Francis made some good trades off that. But you know, expansion teams in this league, for the most part now, the expectation year one is playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. It's
amazing. Which I think is no fun, but that's...
Well, they were actually the first half of last year, they stunk, right?
Yes.
Then they got better.
Yes.
But
there were people disappointed in their first season.
You know who's out of luck here?
Who's that?
The NBA. Because they have turned the winter sports in both Vegas and Seattle into hockey towns, you know.
Which I didn't think they would be successful, but they have.
You know, the number of people in Seattle who are saying we want the Supersonics back has got to be minimal compared to what it was 5 years ago. And in Vegas, they don't care one way or another, you know. They don't.
Well,
Vegas, the NBA do fine in Vegas.
Yes.
Would they have to they're not going to build them a NBA arena, too.
I think that they'd go into the Knights.
Yeah.
Building, which Knights, is right on the strip.
But I mean, the Knights probably have a lot of the ancillary.
And where are the A's going to build now? They're going to tear down the Flamingo, is it?
Is it? Where it's going to be that far down now?
They've switched now from that initial thing. The deal that came out 2 weeks ago, I think, was a vacant lot.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like now that's dead and they're going
to
tear
the
down.
The city wants them to tear down the Flamingo?
I think it's the Flamingo.
It's the Flamingo.
Although I get my hotels are confused.
Flamingo still existed?
That's what I'm going to. I'm probably wrong.
Flamingo's one of the originals.
Yeah, no, I'm probably wrong. But they've changed now to tearing down a hotel.
Oh, really?
As opposed to going into that
Tropicana.
Lot. The Tropicana.
Oh,
Tropicana,
okay.
Flamingo. Yeah. I get very confused by my Vegas hotels.
Well, the original five.
Yep.
The Flamingo. Wasn't the Flamingo the one that got the guy shot? Wasn't the Flamingo the original? I think the Flamingo.
Probably was.
I think the Flamingo.
I just thought it was still there, and it's probably been gone for 35 years. Yep.
But the Flamingo. The Desert Inn, the Sahara, the Tropicana.
And these are on the Strip, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
These are the old ones down on the Strip.
Okay.
And I haven't been out there now in about 10, 12 years, so I don't know how far down the Strip we are. But they were building the Aria when I was there last time, which is like two blocks. The thing is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the big condos there and stuff. How itinerant of a gambler do you have to be to buy a condo in Vegas so when you pay $5 million for a condo, so when you come out for your three trips a year, you got a place to stay?
If you're rich enough, man.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of people with money. We've discovered that.
Yes, there are.
But Vegas is a huge city now, and I wonder what the A's are going to do. I wonder if they're going to play in the starting the year, I think their lease is through 2024.
They're drawing nobody right now.
Oh, God, no. No. Their staff ERA is like 7.8 or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're as bad as possible.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. And it's not like in baseball you get the 7-foot Frenchman who can change a franchise.
Mm-mm.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
For the past 165 years, Minnesotans have been enjoying all this great state has to offer. From Niagara Cave to the Lake of the Woods, did you know Minnesota spans more than 86,000 square miles? It's great. We can experience a state so rich in landmarks, landscapes, and adventures. With so many options, it got us thinking, why are so many Minnesotans limiting their home and auto insurance options? 80% of Minnesotans have their insurance with just one agent who only has one company. At the Canopy Group, we offer you 16 companies for your home and auto insurance and 40 professional agents. So as your needs change, we have options that continue to provide you with the best coverage for the best price. You wouldn't want to fish in only one of Minnesota's 10,000 lakes, and we don't want you to be stuck with only one insurance company. Visit thecanopygroup.com or call 800-967-3389 and get your insurance options today. So what else we got going here locally? Not a hell of a lot. Oh, Zedarius, that's no big loss, I don't think, the way he played the second half of last year.
Yeah, and plus, you know what? He didn't want to come back. He had to go.
Why didn't he want it? Why didn't he like it?
I think he supposedly wanted his contract reworked and wanted more money, but the thing is, he actually then negotiated a one-year contract with the Browns. That's not great.
Yeah.
So who knows? He was a weird guy. He was
guaranteed money though from them, right? But only a one.
And the Vikings
year
are going to pay a portion, I guess.
Do we know how much?
No, have not.
They're not telling us.
But you know what he was, Pat? He was one of these guys that comes in and is everybody's buddy and is smiling and joking around 1 year, and then he's like, "See you later."
Yeah. Well, we all remember the game he played for the Packers when they opened the season here. Oof. Where he was a monster.
Yep.
But then he got hurt 2 years in a row in Green Bay. So
yes.
But the 1 year he played, it was last year there. Did he play like two games or something?
He had, yes, he played, I think, a portion of the opener, had back surgery, and then came back for the playoff game. Last year he had 9.5 sacks, I think, in 8 games through Buffalo, hurt his knee, half a sack the rest of the season.
Yeah. So what are they going to do with Hunter?
I think they're going to, once Dalvin's gone, I think they're going to extend him.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think this is the plan.
And, hey, there's a, somebody told me at Winter Park.
There's or a TCL?
Whatever the hell we call that damn place.
Yeah,
at Winter Park 2.
Yep.
Which you could put inside this place. But anyway.
Three times.
That there's a promotional schedule out there, and the photos are of all offensive players, Cousins, Hockenson, Jefferson, and Madison.
Yep.
It doesn't look good for Dalvin.
No.
I
think he wants out now, too.
Yes.
So, yes, I think this is just a timing thing now.
So what do they owe him then? What? How much money does he have coming?
Well, he was supposed to make, what, like 16 or 15, but if they cut him or trade him after June 1st, the dead money that goes on their cap is not that bad. So,
well, nobody's going to take him for that kind of price.
No, but I think what they're going to try and do is trade him to a team where he can work out a new contract, because no one's going to pay him what he's due.
Yeah. But
which is why he doesn't have a lot of. I think the Vikings thought that they were actually going to get a decent draft pick for him. They're not.
Sixth rounder if the team has to work out. He's owed that much money. Because what if he.
Yeah.
What if he gets traded to a team and he said, no, I'm not going to work? Yeah, you'd have to work out the deal at it.
Correct. Yeah, like Smith, I think this trade, they basically had to do that. So he certainly worked out the deal with Cleveland. And then that's why you don't get much back.
Everybody wants to know what he's even trading for him beyond the money. People got to wonder what's left there too, right? I mean,
Dalvin?
Yeah. He was good for, it's amazing the value of running backs is virtually nil.
He's due 14.1
Who drafted the running back high? The A&M guy. Running back. Who drafted him?
Oh, Bijan, Atlanta.
And they're getting killed for drafting. Well, you now get killed for drafting a running back that high, although supposedly he's a hell of a receiver.
And then the Lions reached on the Bama kid, right? And that's the one where the Lions got filleted.
But supposedly that kid's a great pass catcher too, right?
Yes, both of them can. Yeah. And Bijan sounds like he might be legit. The problem is that the advanced metrics world basically says you don't take a running back in the first round.
Yes, well, the hell with them.
So
anyway, who's the last one that broke the bank? Zeke?
Yeah, I mean, to a certain point, what, Zeke, Dalvin?
Dalvin was kind of in the last swing.
Saquon is an intriguing one because he got franchised. And I think they have until July something. If they don't work out an extension, he'll play for the franchise tag.
Which is what for a running back?
I have to
probably
look it
not
up.
As high as you.
No,
be.
No, it's not
13 or 14, probably.
Yes.
What is that average of the top five players at the position?
At your position
for the thing. So.
And backs aren't paid exceptionally well now. So
no, they need him. What they end up giving Jones? Pretty good deal.
40 but something.
Not they didn't kill him. I mean, it not.
Too
not
much.
200 and some million.
No, but still too much.
Well,
I hope he's.
Who would you rather have, him or Kirk Cousins?
At the current prices, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
I don't trust Jones.
Okay.
He can run a little bit. I do like that.
He does run a little bit.
But I'm not sure I trust him.
Well, even in the game here, the second half, he wasn't nearly as good as he was the first half when they started actually covering receivers.
Yeah, and this defense was so bad, it was hard to.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was wide open.
Exactly.
The first one.
Hey, how about Chris Hines' piece in the Sunday Star Tribune with Ant? What'd you think of that?
It was like, it kind of came out of nowhere, but he wants to be good. I don't know. Are we gonna worry about his future here or not?
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No, I think he's a certain thing.
Mm-hmm. That was a good piece, yeah.
It was interesting, though. It was a nice scoop, I guess.
Yeah, that he's a, wants this to be his club. I think the biggest shock of the week, though, was I didn't realize they hadn't told Cat that they weren't making the trade, Why the hell don't you call him up and tell him?
And why didn't we find that out until Kat went on some podcast?
Yeah, right.
If I was Kat, I would have said that right out of the gate.
Yeah.
This came as a surprise.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not the biggest Kat man in the world, but you got to call him the night before at least and say, hey, we're going to announce this tomorrow. And he was in Europe. You know, you're trying to tell me in the era of modern communications.
Yeah, phones work.
You can't
Zoom.
Get all of them. You can text him and say, Cat, we got some news here that might affect your career. I think you'll call back, right?
So he came out in whose podcast and said that? It was another podcast.
Who was it? I don't know. They all got podcasts. But
Got a question for you. Just because this came out so late, are you completely buying that they didn't tell him? Cat's truth sometimes seems to be convenient.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why he wouldn't tell the truth about
And I suppose.
But it's.
Even if they did give him a heads up, they're probably not going to deny it just to create a controversy. There's no.
No. They just keep
the
mouth
shut. You know, they might be trying to trade him anyway.
It seems interesting that he would come out now, sort of BSing with friends and say that when you would have thought he would have said that a while back.
Yeah, you're right.
Like to a reporter.
You're right, because he could get evasive and say, yeah, well, they didn't tell me directly. They hinted or something.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, he's not a. He doesn't want to walk around taking lie detector tests because he's conveniently forget stuff. And, you know, all of a sudden his. Calf injury is
that's what I was going to say.
Like the most serious thing. It wasn't a second grade. It was a third grade or whatever the hell it was.
Yes.
But I do think, as a lot of people got on him, but I think he gave him an effort in the playoffs. I think that was the best he got, trying to play with this guy who's basically an oaf.
He's with bad hands.
Yeah, he's a $30 million oaf. You know, he just. I mean, sometimes he shoots 70%, well, because they're dunks.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the great game they had when they played together was because it was Oklahoma City and they didn't have a center and they could play volleyball.
Oh, God, I was at that game.
Yeah, they just lobbed the ball.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with.
Did you see an Nate opponent. Silver's tweet? Nate Silver declared the Gobert trade the worst in the history of professional sports.
Woo! No!
That's pretty high. Nothing. He said it. I can't remember it. It was kind of cute language, but it was basically saying this is the worst ever. And a lot of people, because of value, you know, what the value you've given up for him and what he brings. And a lot of people say, the Herschel Walker trade was worse. I know it wasn't the Herschel Walker trade. The potential for this to be worse is worse than the Walker one.
And in the Herschel trade, Mike Lynn's excuse is at least he got duped. Because those players were all tied to draft picks, and he didn't think Jimmy was going to cut every player and take the draft picks. And this one, Tim Connelly knew exactly what he was doing.
Yes, and the Vikings did not go in the tank.
No.
You know, because they had players, and they raided the USFL and got three, Zimmerman and Carter, and, you know, so they got the equivalent of top five draft choices, so...
Yep.
It wasn't as bad, but people love to think it was worse than this. But this, the more you think about it, it has no chance to succeed.
No.
This trade has no chance to succeed.
No, we've seen what
He's
we need.
He's 30. And here's the worst part. I've said this before. The worst part is you gave up the same thing as you got for nothing. The kid you drafted is Rudy Gobert. Making no money and 22 years old or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
That's what makes it the worst. You gave up the same player as you got. It's and people say, well, why didn't you guys all badmouth it at the time? Here's the trouble. Here's our trouble. We trust them. Like when the Twins traded for Tyler Mahle.
Mm-hmm.
People are saying, you guys didn't think it was that bad one. We trusted them.
It's our first mistake.
We thought that they knew he didn't have a bad arm.
That's our first mistake.
Yes, you can't trust them. Don't trust them.
All right.
All right.
I'll talk to you next week.
Goodbye.